This morning, as we continue our studies in the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, we've come to this section which we read together in chapter 2, from verse 12 to 18. And it begins with that conjunction, that joining word, therefore. So what Paul is writing in this passage is linked to what he has been writing before. He has been encouraging the Christians to realize their position in Christ, and he has spoken about all that they have in Christ and by the power of the Spirit in verse 1. He has then gone on to speak to them and to write to them about being humble and united in order that they might serve other people. And then he's given this great example of the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 5 to 11. So that is what is prepared for this great therefore. And Paul writes, therefore, my beloved, he is writing to people that he loves. He isn't coming with a critical spirit. He isn't saying, you've blown it. He isn't saying that in the struggles that you have had, you are somehow failing, and he's trying to crush them. No, he's saying, my beloved, there is a love between them, there is a relationship, and he then commends them for the obedience that they've practiced when he's been with them, and also when they have been absent from one another. But then, in the middle of verse 12, he brings, if you like, the punchline. He has said, now, I'm reasoning these things because of all that has gone before. Therefore, and then in verse 12, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Paul is saying to the Philippians, you have got a job to do in your Christian life. Work out your own salvation. Now, reading this statement in the 21st century, in what we call a postmodern world, many people would say, yes, that is exactly what Christianity, what religion is all about. It's working it out for yourself. If this works for you, fine. If this works for you, okay, that's fine. But don't force this on me. Don't make me believe and practice what you believe and practice. Friends, that isn't what Paul is saying. That is what the modern man wants to hear. That is what human beings have wanted to hear down through history. They have wanted to work out their own way of pleasing God. But Paul says, no, work out your own salvation. And he's actually using the picture of mining. And he is saying, the resources are there, but you have got to draw out the resources. When we were in Papua New Guinea, there was a huge change taking place for centuries. Papua New Guinea was like a sleeping giant to the north of Australia. People ignored it. There'd been a few explorers had gone there, but nothing major had happened. Towards the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, there had been a number of missionary organizations went in to try and help the neglected tribal groups. But mid to late 20th century, there was a huge change took place in that country. Suddenly, they realized that below the surface of the ground, there was copper, there was gold, there was oil, there was gas. On the surface, there were wonderful rainforests containing wonderful hardwoods. And suddenly, Papua New Guinea became a place to be. There's a story told about one particular area, Mount Kari. There are two stories that go around. One says that there was an earthquake and the side of a mountain just fell away And in the tropical sun, you could see the gold glittering and glistening. Somebody else tells the story that they were digging a hole to be used for practical purposes. I won't go any further than that. And as they dug this hole, so they discovered a gold nugget. It was there. It had been provided. The world would say it was provided by nature. God had provided it. It was there. And suddenly you had all the enthusiasm that goes with a gold rush. But today, people are not sitting back waiting for another earthquake, for another mountain to fall apart. No, they've got in the drilling equipment. They've got in the mining equipment. They have got all the engineering drawings worked out. And they are there working out the resources that are already under the ground in that country. And that is what Paul is saying here. He is saying, if you are a Christian, don't just sit back and freewheel on the way to heaven. Don't just sit back and think, well, Christ has saved me and that is all that I need. No, friends. Paul is saying, your Christian life is like a gold mine. Your Christian life is like an oil well. And if you want the resources that are hidden beneath the wonderful surface, then you have to work out. You have to mine. You have to explore. And you have to, as it were, claim for yourself all that God has provided for us. Paul is saying, work out your own salvation. And my first heading this morning, after a rather lengthy introduction, I want us to say, let's make the most of our faith. Let's make the most of our faith. Those miners in Papua New Guinea, those who want to develop the resources, they are no longer sitting there with their dishes and their buckets sifting through the streams. Multinational companies have come in with the experience of history, with the resources of all their development. And they are there, and they are working, and they are working together in order to draw out all that God has created in his world and provided in creation. Friends, the Christian life is exactly the same. God has prepared for us what the writer to the Hebrews describes as such a great salvation. Paul has already described how that salvation was achieved in verses 5 to 11. He has described the life and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God was so concerned to save his people that his Son became a human being and lived among us. He didn't come to reign. He didn't come to exercise authority. He came to serve. And there is such a great salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to Calvary and he achieved our salvation. He secured our salvation. When Paul was being used of God to establish this church, a real, if I can use another term of mining, a real rough diamond asked him, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul turned round to that man and he said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." And friends, that is true this morning. That's all you have to do. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But you say to me, "Bernard, what does it mean that I will be saved?" And this is where we work out our own salvation. This is where we understand what God has done for us. God takes us in our brokenness. He takes us in our emptiness. He takes us in our waywardness. He takes us in our lives that have been lived without Him. And when we come to Him, and perhaps we're ashamed to confess fully and openly the things that we have done wrong, He says, confess it, because I am willing to forgive you. This is working out our salvation. There is forgiveness. Is there anybody here this morning, and inwardly you are blushing because of mistakes that you have made? I've asked the question. I know the answer. We are all like that. But if we confess our sin before God, there is forgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ has provided such a great salvation that all of our sins are forgiven. Is there somebody here this morning? And you're thinking, I couldn't possibly live the Christian life. I'm tempted in this way. My life is so often drawn to those things which I know are ungodly. I love to spend my time doing this. God says to us, I will give you a new heart. He won't physically take our hearts out of our chests, but He will deal with our natural inclinations. He will take, as it's described, the stony heart, and He will give to us a heart of flesh. He will take the desires that now dominate our lives, and He will give us new desires. Work out your salvation. Are you enjoying this benefit of being a Christian? We live in a world that is troubled. The Old Testament prophets were guilty of saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And we live in a world like that, don't we? People say, we have got peace on earth. But friends, we haven't. You know, let's look just across the Irish Sea. We thought that a peace accord had been developed. But sadly, what are we seeing at the moment? A lack of peace. I'm not making a political statement. I'm simply using an illustration. Go to many countries in the world today, and have you got peace? No. And friends, there are so many people who have not got peace with God. But the Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the mine of our salvation. It is the wonderful truth of our salvation. What about love? We live in a world that sadly doesn't love as it ought to love. And yet, God loves us. And we are able to love one another because He first loved us. Friends, gold was discovered by accident in Papua New Guinea. But today, it is being mined by careful thought. It's being worked out by disciplined action. Maybe you've come to church this morning for the first time. Maybe you're aware this morning that God is speaking to you for the first time, even though you may have come for years and years. But I want to ask you, do you know the peace that comes by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God prepared for those who love Him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Friends, God has shown us this morning such a great salvation. I beg of you, take that initial step and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I beg of you, go on with Christ. Do not be content. like those early prospectors. Don't be content taking the gold dust out of the rivers when you can get in to the Lord Jesus Christ and you can enjoy such a great salvation. But Paul doesn't leave his argument there. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Pretty passionate words. Pretty strong words. Paul goes on later on and he says, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, I'm like one of the Old Testament sacrifices, which was a drink offering. And when it was offered, it was simply poured out and soaked up. And this is what Paul is saying. He said, I'm coming to the end of my life. I'm like one of those drink offerings. I don't know what the future holds. But he's saying, I want you to understand the demands of our faith. He said, make the most of your faith. And now he is saying, understand the demands of our faith. He is saying, I may have to pay the ultimate sacrifice for my faith. But I want you to understand that there are times in the Christian life when we are afraid, when we are trembling. What are we trembling about? What are we afraid about? Well, Paul wrote about it in that first reading that we had this morning, where he said, even though I preach to other people, I discipline my body so that after preaching to others, I might not miss out on the prize. I might not, as it were, lose out. Now, don't get me wrong, friends. I believe that once a person is truly saved, they are kept by the power of God. But Scripture and history teach us quite clearly that people can do a number of things when it comes to Christianity. One, they can kid themselves that they are Christians. And a false faith is no faith. So make sure you are in the faith this morning. Another thing that can happen is that we can say, yes, I love the Lord Jesus Christ because he saved me. And we can begin well. But as we have developed in the Christian life, so we can become complacent. So we can start freewheeling. Oh, it's all right, Jesus loves me, and therefore it doesn't matter what I do. Friends, it does matter. And this is what Paul is talking about here. He's saying, take the Christian life seriously. It's not a joyride to heaven. It is a battle. It is a mind that has to be worked. It is a race that has to be run. Run it with fear and trembling. Afraid that you might compromise the truth. That you might be drawn away in another direction. Friends, read church history. Read the events that take place even in our own day and generation. Paul says, with fear and trembling, we need to be afraid that somehow we will be distracted. Notice what he says in verse 15, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. What is Paul saying? If I can use the mining illustration again. You get down into any mine and there will be filth, there will be muck, there will be dirt, there will be waste. Go up the valleys and remember the old slag heaps, the waste. In order to enjoy the minerals, the diamonds, the gold, even the coal, there has to be a distinction. The valuable has to be held on to, and the residue has to be put to one side. And what Paul is saying is, we have got to be gold nuggets. We have to be bright and shining diamonds that stand out in a world that is destroying itself. Friends, I am not encouraging any of us to pride. But what I am encouraging us to is that we might take hold more of Christ, and that Christ might be seen in us. I don't know if any of you have a watch with luminous hands, but on a day like this, when you've been out, maybe standing in the courtyard after church, and you've been chatting, if the face of your watch picks up the light of the sun, you can go into the slightest shadow, and the hands and the markers shine out brightly. Why? Because the brightness of the sun has caused some sort of reaction in the luminous elements of your watch. And that is what Paul is talking about here. He's saying the more time we spend with Christ, the more we are fearful, as it were, of falling away from Christ, the more Christ will be evident in our lives. Friends, we as Christians are to be those who are enjoying our salvation, but we're also fearful of dishonouring our God and getting to a point where perhaps we live on second best. We don't enjoy the great things that God has prepared for us. Let me ask you, are you fearful in your Christian life? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me"? He prayed like that because, in effect, he was fearful of what it would cost him. He, who had known no sin, took our sin in his body on the tree. And therefore we have got a wonderful salvation, but it is not cheap, it is not light, it is that which has been bought at the price of one who went to the cross for us. In recent weeks, our country has been up in arms over a comment made by Kenneth Clark when he said that some criminals, when they are prepared to confess, should be given lighter sentences. And people have said, that is absolutely outrageous. Friends, if that is outrageous, I want to tell you something that is even more outrageous. God says to us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Christ has taken our sins and he has nailed them to the cross. It's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Why should we be forgiven when we don't deserve it? We should be forgiven because Christ is willing to forgive us. Friends, please, I want you to understand this morning that the Christian life has to be lived in fear and trembling, fearful that we miss out on the fullness of our relationship with Christ. Writing to the Romans, Paul says, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for your salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Is it time for you to wake up, friends, in your Christian life? Is it time for you to wake up in your religion and to realize that Christ could come at any time? We sang earlier, didn't we? One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Will you be ready to meet him? Or will you be fearful because you have missed out? In verse 14, Paul says, do all things without grumbling or questioning. He's going back to an Old Testament example where people who were saved from Egypt, they had seen the power of God in judging the Egyptians, but they were saved by the blood of the Lamb. They had seen the power of God as the Red Sea was opened up, but the Egyptian army was drowned. They knew God's salvation. They followed him. But then they grumbled. They were not happy with this man Moses. They were not happy that they didn't have the vegetables that they lived on in Egypt. And they grumbled and they questioned. And for 40 years, they missed out on the fullness of the salvation that God had prepared for them. Paul says that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But thirdly, I want us to understand this morning that we need to enjoy the relationship of our salvation, because we don't have to do this on our own. Paul says, it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do you feel as though you can't do it? None of us can do it, friends. And that is why God has given us himself. We have his Holy Spirit who lives within us. We have the scriptures that we can know the will and the mind of God. We don't have to do it on our own. But God works with us. Many of us think, oh, am I doing God's will? Am I living the way that God wants me to live? Let me show you three things that God has given to us in order that we might enjoy the full benefits of our salvation. He's given us the Bible. We don't need special revelations from God. Read the scriptures, because they testify about Jesus and they show us the right way to live. When Paul writes this letter, he is writing to the whole church. God has given us the Bible in order that we might know his will. He's given to us the church. He's given to us fellowship. He's given to us relationship. And friends, we live in a day when people lay a lot of emphasis on private Bible reading. But the New Testament principle is that we grow as a church together. It's good to see you with us this morning. But is your relationship with the church so strong that you think, I want to grow with these people? I want to be a part of this. God works in us through the scriptures. God works in us through fellowship with his people. And thirdly, God works in us by prayer. As we throw ourselves upon God, so he hears us, he speaks to us, and he draws us to himself. So friends, this morning, Paul is calling to us to work out our own salvation. Are we making the most of our faith this morning? Are we realizing the demands of our faith? Are we realizing the fellowship and the relationship of our faith? Do you work it out with fear and trembling? Or don't you even care? Let's sing our final hymn. 600.